opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think it's not just Cade and Ben. I think it's Matt Shaw. It's Pete. I think with all these guys, I mean, you know, you have to have young players coming up and contributing. You can't be a good team without it, but they're not going to be the most consistent performances. And obviously those guys have had to step up for us this year in big roles. But you have to expect some inconsistency. You know, if you want that true consistency, or you're looking at more veteran guys, and at some point that's cost prohibitive.
That was Jed Hoyer yesterday. He had an appearance before the media who were attending Game 3 of the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and you, as we try to figure out, to some nice Outkast music from Robbie Triano, what they are going to do at the trade deadline. And I think Jed Hoyer has told you politely on the John Heyman and John Sherman podcast about what he plans on doing. And then he kicked it up a notch in the media availability afterward, because if you think the Cubs need starting pitching, so does the president of baseball operations. Let's take a listen.
Obviously, we've played really well. Our position playing group has just been outstanding, both offensively and defensively. And I think that gives some clarity. Obviously, you don't know what's going to happen over the next month and a half with that group, but I think that, you know, right now the focus would be on adding pitching and adding pitching depth. I think that would be the clear thing. And, you know, maybe there's an upgrade, whether it's on the bench, whether it's some complimentary piece. But I think that this group, I think it is a really good group. And like I said, it's not just on offense, it's on defense as well.
I appreciate him saying that, but I know that he seems to be even more clear about that depth and what he wants to build with this team.
Good. Great. That should be the overriding message again at the trade deadline, which is still, I want to point out, more than 6 weeks away. They should be going out to get depth, and it should not be fill out the roster depth. It should be top of the rotation depth.
I think just like we were saying with Ben Brown, think about how another healthy starter, not even a top-of-the-line starter, but another two or three could make such a massive difference in how you feel about the Cubs' rotation. Ben Brown likely automatically moves to long relief. You have more depth and you feel better. Do you feel as good as you would if it's somebody like a perhaps Sandy Alcantara, whose name has been thrown around a lot. I think he's going to command a huge price from somebody because it is such a seller's market. But either way, pitching will improve this team.
I don't agree on the even a two or three. Here's why. Because Shota Imanaga is back. And once he comes back, I would assume it would be Ben Brown and or Colin Ray that go down when you make a trade. And I don't think a two or three is going to, like, to me, Shota Imanaga is great, right? But would you call him a true ace? Would you say, I like Shota's chances against Tarek Skubal? I don't know that I would.
I think that based on what I've seen, I like his chances. As to saying he's the stopper, like if the Cubs go into a situation where they've lost, not back-to-back series, I don't think that's as big of a deal right now because of the quality of the two teams and the Tigers and the Phillies. But if it's a situation where you know you need a guy who you know will beat the team in front of you on the mound, no matter what the talent level is, I don't know that Shota is that guy, but right. I know he's the Cubs ace.
Yes, he is the Cubs ace. And I'm just saying, in order to make a World Series push, that is the goal. The goal is not to get to the playoffs. The playoffs are what should be the standard, especially in Jed Hoyer's final year running the baseball side of things here for the Cubs. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to go out and you're going to give up assets, get a top of the line starter, and they will be available. It's just going to be, are you willing to pay the toll?
Yeah, I agree with Jed, though, in that it is going to be a seller's market, and it's a matter of how much you're going to give up. You already gave up Cam Smith and others in a trade to get Kyle Tucker, so that makes me wonder what it would be next. Would it be big league talent for big league talent? And I agree about the bench depth. Your bench can't be Justin Turner and Vidal Brujan on repeat.
And he kind of mentioned that a little bit. I think the biggest key right now is they need a right-handed power threat bat in the way that Justin Turner would have been 5 years ago.
Yes, 5 years ago, Justin Turner would have been awesome. 5 years ago, he was great on that World Series Dodgers team. Yeah, that would have been lovely.
But I say all that to say the Cubs are just fine right where they are right now in terms of getting through the season as a first place team, winning most of their series, beating the teams we know they should beat. They're doing that. But I want to see them more competitive, more consistently against other teams fighting for playoff spots. And that's where we're lining this up right now.
If I'm putting a GM hat on and I see the emergent pattern of my team is struggling against one or two in your rotation lefties, and also aces in this manner, and I have guys like Ian Happ telling me we need to walk more, we need to work the count more as hitters, and you see that play out the way it did yesterday, even though Luzardo is not, he's not, you know, the typical 1-2 type, then you've got to be able to address this before it gets to a situation where it's biting you in the keister come September. And we saw that happen.
I'm wondering right now just how much we're going to learn now that that series is over, now that the road trip is over, 4-5. Again, nothing to write home about, but that's not a worst case scenario, but far from it. It was an odd number series. You're either going to go 5-4 or 4-5. I'm okay with the road trip in totality, if you will.
The Marshall math?
Well, yeah, the math of it all.
But Sox math has been replaced by Marshall math.
But I think
Marshall math is a little more understanding. And frankly, you know that I was always a proponent of Sox math. I didn't like the way Dan Lawrence treated the people on those videos. I thought that they deserved to be there. This is Layla Rahimi, and I approve my own message on the score.
She is Layla Rahimi. I'm Marshall Harris. We're talking about the Cubs getting ready to dive into it, if you will, with Jed Hoyer as the trade deadline gets closer and they're getting things together, trying to prime themselves to be in position to go out and get help. And again, it's not regular season help that they need. It is the help that they need to be able to win series in the playoffs.
It's like Alex Caruso help if you're the Thunder. That's really what this is. Let's listen to also what Jed Hoyer had to say to Brian Kenny of MLB Network about the difference between building his team in 2016 and building it to try to contend now.
You talked about how different it is just getting innings and get from your starters and innings from your whole staff, even compared to your championship team. What's that long ago? How different is baseball now from going back to 2016?
Yeah, it's so different now. I think I look back on 2016. I mean, we really just – it was Arrieta, Lester, Hendricks, Lackey, Hamill, and those guys were getting into the seventh and eighth inning pretty much every game. And so it felt like you only had to use two or three relievers in winning games. The game is so different now. You're not going to see guys go third time through the order as much. The bullpens are so talented now that you actually want those guys in the game. So it's really difficult to piece it together every night. And, you know, I saw that the Dodger thing last night. I understand it because ultimately, you know, you've got to save your guys for winning games. And you know, sometimes you're trying to win that game. But sometimes, like Dave did last night, you're looking at the length of the season or the rest of the series. And so now those are decisions we have to make more now than we ever had to make before.
You know what I thought about? I thought about how A.J. Hinch used his starters against the Sox to get to the Cubs.
I mean, that's a real thing, right? And it was validated by what happened next, at least in his eyes. I know they lost the series finale, ended up with a split on the South side. But when you look at what happened afterwards...
Nah, you take it on the chin against that team because you're trying to get to the other team.
Listen,
it was the battle, win the war.
I think they're winning the war clearly with where the Tigers are in the pecking order, especially in the American League right now, because that's really what matters is getting the top seed. The Cubs are in that discussion, that top seed discussion. So while they want to bolster their team for the here and now and the rest of the regular season, they can't lose sight of what's the most important thing, which is your team playoff ready with starters and arms? And the Ben Brown thing is great because if they do get the starting that they need, if they have Ben Brown coming in to give you relief innings and he can give you a couple of innings here, one and a third there, depending on what the situation is, that's just another. They've got an army of arms and they're not done adding. They just keep adding.
Ben Brown showed you he can give you six. He just can't give you six right away. Like, that's it. I'm not trying to say he's terrible or anything like that. That is not the case. I'm just saying he's telling you where to put him in a game. And the answer is anywhere but the first.
I think the other thing is when we talk about the opener strategy, it's not just about his mental, whatever you want to call it, trepidation in his approach to the first inning specifically. It's also, if you miss that first three to four batters, if the opener were to put somebody on or even give up a run.
Yeah.
If that happens... When your second inning guy comes in, the guy that would have been your starter, now when you're talking about going the third time through the order, he's not going through the first three to four guys. So that can lengthen even his experience there.
And he himself has talked about it. Like he himself has said, the reason I faced these batters at this high leverage moment late in the game is because of how I didn't put people away in the first inning. Like I love that. I love that he'll tell you about it. But Jed Hoyer is also telling you what he wants to do here. And I appreciate him talking about how long the pitchers that he had that year would go in games, because it's something that I think gets lost in the entire discussion. There was definitely a circle of trust in 2016. There's no doubt about that. That was something we all talked about with the Joe Maddon circle of trust all of the time. And it seemed like there were only three dudes in that circle of trust by the time we got to the World Series.
Hey,
poor Aroldis Chapman's arm was about to fall off.
Things get real narrow when you get towards the end of the season because it's like, I got to have these outs and I can't give up any runs. That's what I love about baseball's postseason is the narrowing of like who you're going to use in certain situations. And you know, this is make or break time because when you get to those elimination games specifically or a clinching game, it's like, we got to end this now so we can reset everything for the next series. And if you're in an elimination situation, it's like, we got to just live to see tomorrow. Also, on
that's exactly what happened. and then it's like, oh yeah, John Lester will get a clean inning. He'll get a clean inning if he comes out in relief. No, that is not what happened. And chaos ensued. Yes?
I also appreciate the texters, 312-644-6767, specifically because I woke up this morning thinking about this very thing.
Yes?
708. Wonder if the Cubs could use a Luis Robert on their bench. And what I talked about with the bench piece that they need from a hitting standpoint, if Luis Robert is back to hitting, he would fit really, really nicely with what they're doing.
Yeah, but again, what are you willing to give up for Luis Robert?
The price isn't that high right now.
It is not, but again, when I think you're talking about a seller's market, I think a lot of the league knows that when he gets off of that team, he's going to be rejuvenated.
Can you imagine him in the Cubs lineup?
Where is he playing? He's playing on the bench.
No, he'd be on the bench. And I still think he's a starter
exactly.
for a team.
He's too good defensively unless that's where it's just a way too much of a headache.
They're not the Dodgers, the Cubs. Headache. Like that's a lot of.
Well, what do you do with Hap? What do you do with Suzuki? What do you do with Tucker? Like that's where it's like you can't. It breaks my brain thinking of Luis Robert Jr. on the Cubs. Where would he play?
It breaks my brain to think of Luis Robert Jr. on a bench for a playoff team. But realistically, that's probably what he is right now.
Yeah, I think Layla's point that she just made about what you have as far as bench depth, it makes sense because also they got more lefties they're going to face this season. And that's one way you can get him into the order so you don't have both Bush and PCA off without thinking, oh, Luis Robert Jr. could be that guy.
And the Cubs had such good bench depth in 2016 that we were talking about how people had to get sent down to the minors because there was no place for them in the big league roster. You know, that was like Chris Coughlin and Matt Caesar and that whole discussion. That's how strong their bench was. Not to mention the catchers that they had at the time as well. Join the Scores, Mark Rohde and Robbie Mokloff, by the way, for a special live broadcast today at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar. That is 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst from 2 to 6. So you got time to get there, guys. Bulls Radio Network analyst and three-time NBA champion Bill Winnington will make a special appearance from 4 to 6. You can finally see how tall you are compared to him in person. It is not a good time. Take in the first round action from Oakmont. It's always fun to watch this time of year. While you're on site, download and fund the Circus Sports Illinois app to receive a matchback incentive up to $500 directly in your account and take your swing at $5,000 with a hole-in-one contest from the Lynx. That's today if you guys want to go out and see them in Lindenhurst.
And you know what? You got even more time to get out there with us tomorrow because we'll both be at Gallagher Way for a special live broadcast from 10 a.m. to 12:45. We'll get you ready for Game 2 of Cubs-Pirates. You know who's on the mound for that one, right? For the Pittsburgh Pirates. That would be Paul Skeens. It's a Paul Skeens
His day. Name rhymes with Skeens.
Yeah. Isn't it just Skeens?
I think so. What else rhymes with Paul Skeens, guys?
Leans. I was thinking Leans. Scenes. He's on, like, teens.
Paul Skeens, shoulder leans.
Yeah.
Dramamine.
Dramamines. I don't know.
Is Lima that, bean?
Yeah, beans. Paul Skeens, not Paul Beans.
Beans, peas, tomatoes, potatoes.
We will be joined by President of the Cubs Business Operations, Crane Kinney, and we'll have surprises along the way.
You name it!
Wow.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And now let's send it downstairs where Bruce Levine is standing by.
All right, guys, I'm here with Carson Kelly, and there are a lot of stars in this game tonight. We're going to start with the seventh inning, and you and Brad Keller. You have a bases loaded situation. He already hit a guy, he walked a guy, and then you have their best hitter up there, and you guys refuse to give in to him. Talk about that sequence.
Yeah, I mean, we went up and tried to slow things down, and Brad did a good job of getting back into it. He had good feel for his slider, so we leaned on that for that at bat. And all in all, you know, great pitch, great sequence, and great win for us.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always fun to talk to our dear friend Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. And a lot of reasons why your Chicago Cubs are among, if not the best team in the National League. And a lot of credit goes to manager Craig Counsell. But the players are the ones that seem to get it done smarter than most, getting the most out of their abilities. So where would you like to begin today?
Bruce, I think what you said after the game, by the way, thanks for getting up for us this morning because you were there till the bitter end, and it was a joyous end for the Cubs. But Brad Keller, bases loaded, and I think what he did just represented a microcosm what the bullpen has been for the last 25 games when their ERA, I think, is sub one. They've been really, really good. What was it about that sequence that stood out to you?
So you have O'Neill Cruz, their best hitter, one of the best young players in the game, up with the bases loaded after Keller hits a guy and walks a run in after a tremendous start by Jameson Taillon that I'm sure you guys want to get to after this. But the reality was you have a game situation there, and you have one of the best fastball hitters in Major League Baseball up. They refuse to throw a fastball. Keller throws six or seven sliders in a row and finally strikes him out with the bases loaded. So again, Keller gets a lot of the credit, but so does Kelly for calling that sequence. You know, you have 3-1 and he throws a slider. 3-2, he throws a slider. 3-2 again, foul ball, he throws a slider to strike him out. That takes a lot of investment in belief by the pitcher with the catcher making a pitch, but also the catcher not giving in to what he would know would be a cripple situation for O'Neill to be able to hit with the bases loaded, getting a fastball. Now, that's how you win baseball games. Let's move it forward to the eighth inning where Detroit, right, where Pittsburgh has their best hitters coming up, yep, right? They have their second, third, and fourth hitters after Cruz, McCutchen, Reynolds, and Horowitz coming up. So what does Counsell do? Counsell, instead of using his closer in the ninth inning, like normal situations go after a guy's earned closer role, instead he uses his best power pitcher in using Palencia, who gets them 1-2-3. The added on great segment for the evening is that you have Ryan Pressly come in the ninth, get the save against a softer part of the lineup, build up his confidence. So now you have a convolution of different things going on here. You win a ball game, you use your closer to get the best hitters out, and you build up another guy who continues to be more important in your bullpen. You know, tip of the hat to Craig Counsell for all of that.
Yeah, that was masterful, and you win another one-run game, and they've been doing that, and that's been what separates them from other teams. They get those games. They do something they didn't do a year ago. Remember all the blown saves? They it's pretty extraordinary, and you know, using your best pitcher in the biggest moment is something that he's talked about and that he's done in the past, and it was it was really good because I think you're right. I think we saw Presley kind of the last time out, he got a couple guys on, and then all of a sudden he starts cranking it out, and he's hitting 95.
Right.
And you're kind of looking at him like that's a couple of good outings together for him, which he's going to need as you move forward here.
Right. So, I mean, the key is you win a close ball game. You get, what, four hits in the game. Two of them are home runs. And you continually build your bullpen's not only strength but believability in itself to the point where, you know, over the last 26 games, the ERA, the bullpen, is 0.90. So incredible. That's over a that's a month now that they've done that continuously. So, you know, again, impressive on the field, impressive managing of the team as well.
Bruce, what are you expecting today? Paul Skeens, Cade Horton, and what role will Cade Horton play, or how often will his name come up in trade conversations as the Cubs pursue an ace?
Well, if you want Chris Sale, he's going to have to be in the trade, right?
No.
I mean, no?
I don't know.
If you're Atlanta,
but would you give him up? No.
Well, I mean, can you envision a World Series with the pitching staff they have right now, which is a very good staff, probably lacking an ace, although Imanaga, you know, in another couple weeks will be back. But can you imagine a pitching staff of the Cubs going to the World Series and winning it without a more quality guy like Chris Sale on the mound?
It's a good question. I reserve the right to change my mind. On June 13th, my snap reaction was no.
I think the one thing we learn in that Detroit series is that
you need a guy like that.
As good as was it Ben Brown in that game? As good as he pitched.
Yeah.
He's no Scooble.
Right.
And
no,
Scooble
no question.
Is the difference between those teams. And then you saw Jack Flaherty pitch pretty good. Bruce, we were talking about it today. You need a pitcher. You need to go out and get a pitcher, not just a starting pitcher, a pitcher who's better than Shota. And then you need him and Shota to be in your in your rotation.
Do you have to use Horton to get a guy like that?
I would say probably yes. I mean, again, you know, are you willing to give up some of the future going forward to try to win the World Series? Everything they've done to this point is pointing to we want to win a World Series. You know, giving up some inventory to get one of the top five players in the National League and acquiring Kyle Tucker for right field. That's one way to look at it. The other is, you know, you have a situation where you have a pretty nice lead right now on June 13th, mm-hmm. and 5.5 games, and Hoyer's out there talking about acquiring a pitcher now. Okay, he's not talking about waiting to the deadline, but getting it now. He's letting the baseball world know through the media that he's looking for that starting pitcher now. We're open for business. So everything they talk about, everything that they're looking toward right now, they're saying we're going to try to win the World Series.
See, here's my problem with that, Bruce. I'm not arguing with the mentality now, but I think that they pursued Bregman, but did they really? Right? They finished fourth in the 14 bidding for him.
Not a $40 million player, Mike.
I'm just saying they didn't do everything possible. Right? Now maybe they felt that Matt Shaw was going to. Then they traded Cody Bellinger, and what did they do with that money? That influx. They seemed wait and see to get to this point. And now the question is, are they going all in? And if they go and get a pitcher that, like we described, who's better than Shota and that good, let's put it that way, then they change their fortunes come playoff time. But we've yet to see him to see them truly commit to that. There's been talk, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, 40,137 on a Thursday night disagree with you, Mike. I mean, that was incredible last night. I'm not trying to
No, it's okay.
I'm smart about it. I'm just trying to say that there's great belief in this fan base. And, you know, again, I think the ownership and Hoyer and everybody else, it's going to be in. Remember back to last August, you know, I bring this up periodically, and what Craig Counsell said, which shocked the Chicago Cub Nation by saying, look, we're not doing enough right now to try to win a World Series, try to go deep in the playoffs. We're just not doing it. I think that resonated throughout the organization from top all the way to the bottom, that you got a manager here that's not just going to sit there and watch you guys try to win 85 games. We have to be a 90-plus win team. Right now, they're certainly on pace for that. They're on pace to win 100 right around there. So, again, assuming that you're good enough to win right now, I don't think they're doing that. I think they know they have to add to this team.
Bruce, I'm never sure what purpose this serves, and maybe we overstate it in the media, but are you connecting Jed Hoyer in Philadelphia, going on MLB Network and talking to the assembled media off schedule, frankly, sure, as a way of letting the league know we're open for business and we want to move sooner rather than later?
Yeah, he's not a dumb guy. He really is not. I mean, it's using the media to your advantage, and you know, he's doing that right there. He could have easily waited to come home, just like you pointed out, David, and normally talk to the media on the first day of a 10-game series that they're going to be home. Instead, he chose to do that in front of in the back end of a series where they were 4-4 at the time and playing teams over 500 again, which they'll be doing again after the Pittsburgh series. So I think when they look at the schedule, guys, and they see the next 25 games after Sunday are all against 500-plus teams that are over 500 up until the All-Star game, they know they have to start playing their best baseball, and they might need additions. And one of them will be Imanaga toward the end of the month, and the other hopefully will be a pitcher that they make a deal for before the All-Star game.
Are they playing their best baseball? I mean, do you feel like they played better baseball earlier?
I think that you were getting surprising results from some guys. So after the game, PCA, again, who hit another home run, he does it every day, right? He said, you know, the bottom of the order, they moved me up from seventh, right? And then Kelly, all of a sudden, isn't, you know, Johnny Bench anymore. He's just a really good catcher, right? The bottom of the order isn't producing the way it did. You have really good hitters in Nico Horner and Shaw, who's hit over 300 since he came back from the minor leagues, hitting over 300, batting eighth and ninth, okay? It's pretty good. I think a lot of lineups would like to have that, but
they haven't
not the
been,
same run production.
But that's right. What I was going to say. They're not scoring runs in the same way.
Yeah, and they can win the 3-2 games.
Yes, and they did yesterday.
Right.
PCA, so, that was the ninth highest pitch hit this year for a home run. I mean, that was insane that he swung at that pitch, let alone connected with it. And then he's had the two lowest pitched home runs.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, that guy is having a year. Like, it's just extraordinary that he can hit everything in the zone.
It's like he got one of those big wiffle ball bats.
It's incredible.
You know what? There's a term for it in baseball, and it's called bad ball hitter. Mm-hmm. And you go back to the old days in Yogi Berra, an old Hall of Famer with the Yankees, who holds a million World Series records, was one of those guys who would hit everything out of the zone and hit line drives and home runs. Vladimir Guerrero Sr., certainly going into the Hall of Fame as a bad ball hitter. Maybe that's who Pete is. You know, there's no real good way to pitch him. You know, maybe a fastball down the middle is the best way to get him out because he hits everything everywhere else. And he also elaborated about having his first day off on Wednesday. And in his own way, he said, yeah, he fought with Craig Counsell on trying to stay in because he wants to play every game. And he said at the same time, he said, Counsell is, you know, the man, you know, I trust everything he does. But, you know, the competitor inside of him, you know, and the 23 years old that he is, told him everything about, I need to be in the game. He said he didn't know what to do with himself after the, you know, during the game. He was pacing.
Wherever you pitch it, he can hit a PC anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's an incredible, you know, the 90-mile-an-hour pitch above his neck just goes out of the ballpark. And when Terry Francona was in the great manager of the Reds, and I was at the ballpark with him. He was on with us that weekend as well. And he said to me, I said, what stands out? He goes, bat speed. He has incredible bat speed, and he can catch up to anything, anywhere, in and out of the zone. So, you know, it's a scary, scary hitter.
Great stuff, Bruce, as always. Really appreciate it,
buddy. Guys,
Bruce,
have a great weekend.
Yep,
that see you tomorrow. Is our guy, Bruce Levine. Yeah, that's always fun.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
He said it didn't affect the play. I mean, I just disagree with that. I think it did affect the play. You know, it's a situation where if Michael doesn't catch the ball, they call him out. And because he caught the ball, they called him safe. He didn't deny that it was interference. He didn't deny that he was out of the baseline, but because he caught the ball, it's not interference. That was, at least that was the explanation.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the ejected man, not dejected, but ejected.
He's
that
ejected.
The manager of the Cubs.
Cub fans Council. Are dejected. Craig Council ejected. Second night in a row. That's got to be a first for him in his career, right? Two nights in a row?
You said he's been thrown out 33 times?
Yeah.
And that means 31 before the last couple of days. So of the 31, how many of those could have been
consecutive?
Consecutive.
I don't know that probably has happened before in his career.
It'd be
worth checking into.
I would venture you're probably correct.
It's hard to get thrown out two nights in a row.
I don't know.
Consider the circumstances. They've been somewhat unusual, these circumstances. On Sunday, And then again, Sundays was ridiculous because
Sundays had nothing to do with him.
Had nothing to do with him, but he was defending his player, and you appreciate that.
Yes.
That's his role.
But Nico Horner got rung up and thrown out as fast as anybody you're ever going to see. He turned and he said, "You're having a bad day," and that was it.
And that was it. Quick overreaction by the umpire.
Yeah.
Young umpire, apparently. Okay, whatever. They lose that game. And Monday night, they lose another one. I think Craig Counsell needs to stick around. They're 0-2 when he gets ejected.
It's not helping.
No, it's not.
And Dustin thought that Ian Happ hit a home run as a direct result of that, if I'm not putting words in his mouth.
I think he did say that.
And then you said he hit a home run. Let's move him down the order.
Well, you're kind of oversimplifying both things. Dustin suggested there was cause and effect from the ejection to the homer.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe it did fire up Ian Happ. He said, I'm going to go up to the plate and I'm going to be more locked in because Craig Counsell, this is for you. I don't think that was the case. A little overdramatic. Now, my thing about moving him down wasn't necessarily because Ian Happ doesn't deserve to hit leadoff or they don't like the fact that he's a grinder at the top of the order. But let's be realistic about what's going on here with the Cub offense. We spent the first 2 months or so referring to the Cub offense as historically good, off to a record start. And boy, they lengthened the lineup, and Kyle Tucker did this, and Seiya Suzuki's doing that. And PCA, oh my gosh, MVP. Okay, now, in the last week or so, since they got shut out, they've been shut out twice in the last 9 games, and they scored 1 run on Sunday. They struggled to get anything going last night. They hit 2 home runs but managed only 5 hits. That's a meager 5 hits.
It's a meager number.
I just, from this seat, you ask the relevant questions, hopefully. And one of them is it time to shake up the batting order?
I think the batting order, you could shake it up, but you could do it at the bottom of the batting order because I don't know that Carson Kelly could be moved down.
That's just activity. I want accomplishment.
Then move Matt Shaw up ahead of Dansby Swanson.
Oh, now that's not a bad idea. Matt Shaw, who's hitting better, he should probably be, what, 7th, 6th?
Okay.
Carson Kelly's cooled off. Dansby Swanson's cooled off.
Yeah.
If you want to bat them 8th and 9th, great.
That's pretty good 8th and 9th.
Put Matt Shaw 7th and then fill in everybody else after that. But I like PCA at the top, maybe Suzuki 2nd, maybe Tucker 3rd, then Michael Bush, and then Ian Happ.
I think the top of the lineup's okay.
Change it up. Make something happen. Mix it up. This is a struggling offense. I need to go.
Numbers aren't good. They are a suddenly struggling offense. I wouldn't argue with that. But they played some really good pitchers. I don't know that there's any need to panic or any reason to be overly concerned. I think you kind of roll with the punches a little bit. They won 6 consecutive series, then they lost one in Detroit because they ran into 2 really good pitchers. That's all that happened.
You are placing a lot of faith in the offense and the lineup. You are placing a lot of confidence, as he has earned, in Craig Counsell, correct?
I'm placing confidence in what we've seen all year long.
Okay.
That's what I believe they're a pretty good team.
They are a very good team.
Yeah.
So they're the best in the National League.
They woulda, coulda, shoulda won last night.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And that was a team that they were facing that had lost 5 consecutive games and had a guy coming off maternity leave, Zach Wheeler, who's a really good pitcher. So they were desperate to win a game. I think they've lost 9 of 10, and they needed, going into the game, and they needed to win a game, and they won a game in 11 innings. And I guess I'm not as panicked about it. I mean,
don't overstate it. I'm not panicked.
You're changing the lineup.
That's not panic.
It is a reaction to what you called a broken offense.
I would say that's not panic. That's a response. That is more prudent than panic. I don't think it's panic. We got one of the best hitters in the National League.
Yeah, I think they're going to be okay. I wouldn't listen. They won six series in a row. They lost one. They lost the first game of a series. Are they going to win this series? If they do, then all is fine. I'm not
saying the sky is falling. Before the texters get on, and I am not saying that this is something that is even a crisis yet. I think you tweak. I think it's tweak. You tweak the lineup. You're Craig Counsell. You've got a lot of different hitters, and you can use a lot of different ways.
I think Craig Counsell, try not to get thrown out of the game tonight.
Yeah, right.
Stick
twice
around.
In the last six games, the Cubs have been shut out.
Yes.
And a third time, they scored one run. So that's all I'm responding to. I'm not overreacting, I don't believe.
Right.
I don't want to.
They only scored one run against, you know, the best pitcher in baseball in Skubal.
Yeah.
They were shut out against Jack Flaherty, who is an excellent pitcher. And
Mackenzie Gore, as you pointed
Mackenzie
out.
Mackenzie Gore, who is a really
good lefty.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't think I think that just circumstances are such that it's a more difficult period in the schedule, and you're okay. Everything's okay.
I appreciate the feedback,
and
though.
And you're coming home.
It's good to be engaged. But, you know, if you're not going to react to something like getting shut out twice in six games, I think it's okay.
They should have done more yesterday. They had a chance when Pete Crow Armstrong finally doubled in the winning run that was only a run that got you the lead. And then you had him on third base because there was a wild pitch. If you don't knock him in, then you got a problem. And they didn't knock him in. That's how they had a problem. And then they went into the bottom part of the inning and unfortunately couldn't get an out.
And while we can quibble on what to do offensively, I think we can all agree that the Cubs – have a glaring need, and I don't know if that's overstating it either, but coming out of the Detroit series,
you felt the
value of having
top
of the rotation starters make big statements in huge series. And I think the Cubs lack that.
Do you think Detroit is a better baseball team than the Cubs?
Yes, I do.
And do you think they're a better offense than the Cubs?
No, I don't.
I think right now they're playing better defensively,
and their pitching is better.
Yeah.
Because in a playoff series, in clutch situations, I think they have a better starting rotation.
Yeah. If you had a pitcher who was as good as the best pitcher in baseball currently in Skubal, reigning Cy Young winner, you'd feel better about your offense.
You would definitely feel better about some of these tweaks
and if
some of these dry spells. You'd be able to – right now the margin for error seems incredibly thin and small, which is why Jed Hoyer – when he was on the show podcast with John Heyman, our guy, and Joel Sherman, talked about why that need for starting pitching will be at the top of his priority list as the trade deadline nears.
Yeah, I think barring injury, there's probably some small things on the offensive side, but really I think that our position playing group has been really good. I think that the thing that we've done probably better than anything offensively is just the depth we have, top to bottom. I think we're getting production, kind of both offensively and defensively from all our spots, and that's made a huge difference. So I think, as I think about it, I think that, pitching is the likely direction we would take if we were adding.
Yeah, I mean, that is about as obvious as anything out there, right? I mean, it's great that he's transparent in what he's saying, but I think – everybody and their brother knows that, right? They lost Justin Steele, and he's not returning. They're down Shota. When is Shota coming back? Do we have any clarity on that?
I don't know.
We'll talk to Tommy Hotovy at 9 o'clock this morning, and we'll ask him where he is.
Shota pitches today in Arizona.
Yes.
And just because it's obvious when you hear the general manager give voice to it, that doesn't always happen.
Oh, no. It's a good thing to have. But what I'm saying is, I don't think there's a Cub fan that would argue with that idea. I think you feel like, the third base position has been solidified. You saw the great defense yesterday. Everything's going okay there. And Matt Shaw's doing enough that you don't worry about whether or not he's going to be a good professional.
That's a good point.
So could you use more help in the bullpen? Yeah. But you got a nice run out of Presley yesterday. He hit 95. He got himself in trouble, and then he got out of it. And boy, I mean, Valencia was hitting 101. That was really good.
Let's talk about that bullpen for a second. As pointed out on Cubs.com by Jordan Bastian, over the last month, essentially, since May 7th, the bullpen has turned in a major league leading 1.68 ERA in 107 innings, giving up 20 earned runs. And guys like Presley, Pomerantz, Brad Keller, Theobar, Chris Flexen, they have no earned runs allowed between them. You think about that.
Yeah,
so that's a bunch of guys, a collection of veterans who come to the Cubs and basically say, fix me. And Tommy Heinsohn says, okay, here's the manual. There's the pitching lab. When you come out, you'll be better.
It's true.
It seems like
and,
it.
And you know, I got to tell you, we have felt that way about the bullpen for a while. Like, that's just kind of – the bullpen is a living, breathing entity that changes and goes on. It's different than
other parts. You make it sound like a mascot. Like –
it's a lovely, it's a wonderful,
something that walks around back there in the bullpen.
It's a beautiful pet.
Yeah.
It's a proud dog of a bullpen. 312-644-6767. Let's try Ben. He's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Ben, don't tell me we lost you. You can almost hear breathing there. We lost Ben.
Sign of life. He's a has-been.
We should have gotten him. My fault. Let's try Ed. Ed's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
All right, so a couple of ways I think Council's totally stepping on Cubs' run production here. First of all, Dansby Swanson, not that good a hitter. We can admit it at this point. I mean, he's actually not valuable enough to bat ninth. He's more like an eight hitter. And then, excuse me, I was exercising. One sec.
That's okay.
And then,
breathe.
All right, one sec.
Make sure you breathe.
One more point.
Okay. Put it back
Hap
on the rack.
Down, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Hap goes down, PCA is batting leadoff, and they're sailing along, producing runs. Then he steps on that and puts Hap back in. There's no need to put him back in there. Just see how it goes. Then you reserve the option to bring Hap back to the beginning of the lineup. So that's it.
Okay, Ed. Thank you, buddy.
Go back to the squat rack. I think that's a good point.
Get that work done.
David,
all you want is for PCA to bat leadoff. It's like you're coming up with six different arguments and you're making all these. You just want PCA to leadoff.
That wasn't my argument.
That's really what you want.
Sam's argument. Was that Sam? I'm sorry. That was exerciser's argument.
That was Ed.
Ed, I'm sorry. Ed the exerciser.
I love that Ed is like talking to us while he's exercising.
Well, sometimes you're on hold for a while. You can get some more reps in.
Is there guys at the gym looking at him like, why are you sitting on the bench? Why don't you get up and work out or leave? One more. Let me just. Let's try John. John's on the Odyssey app.
Hi, John.
Wow. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, enjoying you. Just look at, sometimes you let hitters hit when they're supposed to advance the runner with no outs, and they're not sacrificed. They're not moving the runner along.
Right.
Look at last night in that last inning where
Swanson strikes out.
Didn't do what he's supposed to do.
Yep.
But look at Philadelphia, last point. They bunted their mans around, and they scored. I'll hang up.
That's a good point.
They got two bunt hits.
They did. But I think the philosophy, they did a nice job of getting their run scored.
Yes.
Because in the extra innings, it's a different mindset because of the Manfred man on second base.
Yes.
I think you have to have a different sort of approach than you do the rest of the game. Manufacturing runs is something the Cubs haven't done well because they haven't gotten a lot of hits. They just, you're not going to complain about Saturday when they hit five home runs. But even Craig Council said, I think after that, we didn't do much else except for the homers.
Yeah, and that sounds funny, but it was also, what was the statistic? It was the first time a team had not driven in a run with runners in scoring position and still won a game with six runs, right?
Yes, I think that was the number.
Was the home
but
run.
He seemed to be implying...
Since 2016.
Speaking of something that maybe he saw that we're seeing now, like he knows that they're not They're not hitting on all cylinders right now.
Right.
It's feast or famine, boom or bust.
It is feast or famine. And unfortunately, yesterday was two solo homers.
Yes. Kyle Tucker, when he hit that homer early, I thought, well, they're going to get to Zach Wheeler. The time off really hurt Wheeler, and he's going to have a struggling evening. And then he didn't struggle at all. Ian Happ hits a homer. That was clutch. That was great. Tied the game 2-2. But they didn't do much else to that. Three other hits. That's not good enough. So I think that against a guy like Zach Wheeler, you've got to try to find ways to manufacture runs more than the Cubs did. When you see Zach Wheeler, do you think of any – do you remember the days when he
– Oh, I remember. Yeah, believe me, I remember.
Near White Sox. Oh,
you don't think that goes through my head every time?
I wondered that.
You know I know that.
I thought when you mentioned the fact that he was on –
Would you like to prod me with a pole?
I thought when you mentioned that he was on he was on paternity leave, correct?
He was.
And I thought that you were going to reference his wife being the reason why he didn't sign with the White Sox.
His wife would prefer to be in Philadelphia. She had family there as opposed to the south side of Chicago. I'm not going to blame her. People, you know, happy wife, happy life. The guy wants to do right by his missus. Nothing wrong with that. And I think it ended up being a right decision. Didn't he win a World Series?
It was the right decision for Zach Wheeler.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it.
Well,
it was not a great decision if you were a White Sox fan hoping he was going to come save the day. I'm sorry. The look on your face.
He better stay out of our business. He better stay out of White Sox business.
Sorry, Kenny. Sorry.
We heard from Kenny in a while.
Need to look into that.
Yeah.
Rick Hahn's making the comeback tour. He's talking a lot. Maybe Kenny has something to say.
I thought he was only talking to the MLB network.
Apparently, he's only talking to national media.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I mean, he's welcome.
The request was in and declined.
Yeah.
Politely. That's professionally.
Right. Have we got who else have we requested? Do we have requests in? I talked to Jerry about what's going on, if he wants to.
You want to, or you have requested him?
I'm saying,
of course.
If he wishes to unburden himself,
we are
here. Yeah, we're not going to ask you.
That's
about
a standing invitation.
Always. And we've had Chris Getz on. We've had Will Venable on. I talk to those guys anytime I want to talk.
Brooks Boyer on.
Brooks, we haven't had on our show in a couple of weeks. I think we tried to get Brooks last week, but he would only do you and on your own on Saturday.
That wasn't me. I had nothing
Brooks,
to do with
Brooks
that.
Brooks apparently mad at me.
I had nothing to do with that.
More
that's
likely,
all Bruce. That's all
more
Bruce.
Likely, he just dislikes Dustin.
Bruce wields all the power that weekend show.
I'm happy to share my number to Brooks with you, which you probably have, and maybe you should reach out directly.
I will, because I got to talk to him anyway. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Speaking of White Sox business.
Yes, we are going to talk to
Mitchell Armantrout from the Sun-Times.
And he did a nice story on Justin Ishbia. Mm-hmm. And we're very curious to talk about the possibilities moving forward, what his role will be and what it means. And we'll do that next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Excuse me, I was exercising.
Craig Counsell just gets ejected from games. That's the way it is. That is Cubs baseball.
We're somewhere in the multiverse where that's just the thing now that happens.
Basically, I guess. Man, it's been crazy. We got to calm things down here just a little bit. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show in today for the fellows who will eventually return. It is me, Mark Rohde, and him, Anthony Herron. We are here up until the start of Cubs pregame. The Cubs and the Phillies will rematch here today after the Phillies beat the Cubs 4-3 in a highly eventful game last night, and I am thrilled to bring in the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Craig, and I mean this when I ask this, how are you? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing great. It's a nice day in Tuesday in Philadelphia.
And it's been a wild couple of days for you, for sure, with back-to-back ejections. I guess take us through last night, what went down, what the argument was, what you were told, and why you were ejected.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was interference by the runner running outside the baseline. Stu disagreed, and then I was ejected.
In what
Very
way?
Simple.
In the position that Carson Kelly was in there, how does the way, because it feels like one of those gray areas that's there, that's kind of open to interpretation. So how was Carson Kelly's job made more difficult by the base runner?
Well, the runner is allowed, and if the runner is running on the grass, he is in violation. But because we completed the play, they deemed that there was no effect made on our fielders because Michael Carson eventually threw to first. Michael caught the ball, so there was, even though he was in violation of the rule, they judged that there was no interference.
It's unbelievable. Him saying that it didn't affect the play, but it acknowledging that he's out of the base path, shouldn't he just automatically be out? I mean, is that the discussion? And were you booted too fast without getting a further explanation, or should there have been more?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to debate, like, if I was thrown out too fast, that's, you know, who knows? That's his call. I think the play was affected. I think that's what we're going to, you know, ultimately disagreed on, is that I thought our fielders were affected in the play, and the umpire thought our fielders were not affected in the play. So ultimately, that was the disagreement. If Michael would have just dropped the ball, I think he would have been called out. That seems ridiculous, but according to Stu, that's the rule. That's how it went down.
So I call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station, and so I spend a lot of time between my playing career and coaching the game and now analyzing it consistently, kind of breaking down mechanics of different officials in different positions in football. You know, where's the umpire stationed? Where's the back judge? Where's the head linesman? All these different things in them trying to execute their job. You don't have a week in between games like we tend to in the football space. Is there much conversation that plays out just talking about even just positioning of the umpire and whether or not they're just mechanically even in the right spot to interpret a call accurately?
No, there's really not. The umpires have a hard job, and the replay has made their job a little easier, but it's still a hard job. And there's a world of calls that are eligible for replay. There's a world of calls that are not eligible for replay. That's somewhat confusing and related to, frankly, like how fast we want the game to go. There wasn't an issue with that on the play. It was more an issue of like just kind of interpretation of the play.
Yeah, and I most definitely want to get more into the game last night and some of the stuff that happened in the late innings. But you were ejected the day before as well, and that was on behalf of Ian Happ by Derek Thomas. What was your interpretation of all of that for Nico Horner and Nico Horner admitting that he told the umpire he was having a bad day?
I mean, it all speaks for itself. I mean, I think it's, there's no reason for me to add anything. You guys can all, it's perfect talk show radio. You guys can ask your guest, does that warrant an ejection? So you should have at it and have fun with it.
Oh yeah, we have. We've been heating it up pretty good, man. Well, I will ask you this though. I thought on Saturday, I will say, I laughed out loud on Saturday when that your dugout was chirping, and you don't have to say anything if you don't want, but the dugout was chirping. They were going after Doug Eddings, and Eddings kind of looked back at the dugout and basically said, I'll get better. Did you pick that up, Craig? And did you at least think that that was funny and a good answer from Doug Eddings?
No, we didn't. The mics are better than our ears. So, I knew he was, you know, there was chirping going on back and forth, and which is fine. You know, which is okay. It's part of it. That's all we're asking. So I guess he gave the right answer. You know, we're just asking for as much as possible, the right pitches to be called. And Felt like some pitches early in that game were going against us.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to get through all that. We want you to – I don't know. There's some people who want to see – I guess there's a name for it when you get ejected from three straight games. What were they saying on the show before us?
That's, oh, turkey.
Oh, it's the turkey.
In bowling parlance. You get three strikes in a row, it's a turkey.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the turkey?
Yeah, a bowling term. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. They flash it on like the screen, like at the bowling lanes. They have big turkey up there. Yeah.
There you go. All right. All right.
Have you?
I mean, you've never done that, probably. That's all you.
No, that's true. You got me there, and I have never been ejected from a Major League Baseball game either. That's why I'm so interested in it.
And in comparing sports, because that's where my brain tends to go. I think, like in football, you can say awful things to a ref on the sideline during the football game. In basketball, they're spitting on the guy accidentally. In baseball, it's just like the world we've always kind of been in baseball, where you have to be very, like, they're very rigid about how you approach them, what you can announce, what you can question, and all these things. You're a fairly analytical guy, seemingly. Do you go into these interactions knowing sometimes, all right, there's a chance he might run me here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really yesterday I was just trying to get an answer on the play. I was just trying to understand the reason for the call and trying to, you know, sometimes you're just asking that they also that they confer with each other, like, because I still think, you know, four guys look at the play, maybe just something, you know, and obviously they're going to tend to back each other up, which is normal, but I think it could a better answer come if four guys thought about it than one guy. And I think that's pretty reasonable to ask. They if they don't walk up to you immediately, you know, if they don't come to you immediately, they're probably not going to overturn one of their own guys' calls. And that's frustrating a little bit. Because I think the goal should be to get it right. I think both teams want that. But baseball's got its own kind of strange culture around that part of it. I was thinking about that with Nico. Is like, can you imagine an NBA player getting ejected for saying that to an NBA ref? I mean, that's like a compliment. I mean, it's the nicest, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm a little conflicted on that one. Like, to have, like, you're this umpire, and you got somebody looking bad. Like, maybe you are having a bad day, but then somebody tells you you're having a bad day.
But by comparison to other sports, though, like, what we're allowed to say and yell and scream.
That's a good point. I guess maybe that's literally because of the speed and the adrenaline with which the game is being played, maybe. I don't know. I guess maybe baseball lends itself. Maybe it's baseball's fault, Craig.
It is. Yeah, we got a lot of problems.
Where do you stand? Because Mark had an opportunity to talk to Nico about the whole situation from the previous game yesterday. I really love Nico's answer about just the idea of sort of the robot ump, you know, persona, and whether or not balls and strikes would get called. And Nico had a really thoughtful answer about the role of the catcher and pitch framing and how there's a skill involved in that. You've obviously gotten to evaluate all this stuff, his play and manager and everything. Now, where do you stand on just the continued evolution of how much technology gets involved in umping the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that I'm really torn. I mean, I think, you know, I do think sports in general, like the human element to it, we got to just be careful. I mean, it's why the emotion of sports is kind of what we love. So it's a big part of what we love about sports. So I think we just have to be careful of when we're starting to chip away at that. But, you know, on the same side, I think, you know, some of the systems they've come up with, maybe of the challenge system, I think is entertaining. It will be entertaining for fans. I think fans will really enjoy it. But I think the emotion of the game, like, we got to be really careful that we don't kind of put technology at the forefront and at the expense of emotion, right? And I think that's going to, because that's what we all fall in love with sports for. I'm hesitant sometimes when these great technological advances come through that we run into them.
I'm guessing Craig would have finished the game, though, if it was a cyborg as the ump. I don't think they would have gotten all sensitive about Craig saying to ask
That's
for help.
The whole thing, though, here is that if we had robot umpires, we wouldn't be getting to talk to Craig Counsell about his favorite topic, and that is being ejected in back-to-back games. So,
I mean, who wouldn't it be their favorite topic about that? Yeah.
It's part of the concoction, isn't it, Craig? This is good baseball talk, right?
Yeah, it's good radio talk. Absolutely.
Yes. I love that you make that, you do the distinguishment between those two things. That's so great. I actually do want to take you to the 11th inning of last night's game, and I know that you were not out there managing, but it was kind of a wild inning because you had the bunt single that was trying to move a guy over, followed by an auto Kemp bunt single, which was probably another sacrifice situation that loads the bases before the game-winning hit. What did you think about that inning? Was there any way that it could have been defended better or could have done anything differently in that spot?
Well, I think I would say, look, they made two great bunts off a guy throwing 100 miles an hour. So I think hats off to both of those guys for doing that. I think I would say if you're laying out in an expected bunt situation, we still have to get an out in at least one of those. That's what I would tell our guys and what we did tell our guys. And so you got to give them some credit. They did execute tremendously well against a very difficult pitcher to bunt against. And so sometimes you tip your hat and you have to. The other side is trying to beat you. But, there is a place that we can execute and learn from in that situation. I mean, we still would have been up against it pretty good to try to keep runs off the board there, but that's probably something we could have done better.
And then some one good thing from the game before it gets away from me, defensively last night, several assists. Kyle Tucker throwing out Edmundo Sosa trying to take second in the second. I'll throw in Matthew Boyd's pickoff in the third, even though he had one throw away as well that led to a run. Ian Happ throws out the Castellanos throw in the eighth inning. These guys kept on thinking that they could take second base. What did that defense mean to you? What does it mean to you in general? Because the defensive metrics are pretty good for your team this year.
Yeah, this road trip we had a game in Washington where we had two outfield assists. I mean, you get two outfield assists in a game and your outfield's doing something really good. So, defense is a big part of our success. We are not a high strikeout team, and so the ball is going to be in play, and that means converting outs, finding outs somewhere out there is crucial for us. I think we'll continue to play good defense. It's going to be really imperative that we do, and it's been a big reason that we're off to a pretty good start.
So bases loaded, bottom of the 11th, tie game, and no outs. You're in the clubhouse, you're not able to be out there making these decisions. And just from a situational perspective, again, just kind of going to my football brain where there's a week in between to prepare for every conceivable scenario that may come up on a Sunday. I'm watching that play out last night thinking, all right, so Craig's not out there, but everyone seemed ready, seemed prepared to go. There's the conversation with the ump just to make sure we can shift in the way we prefer to shift in this moment. How much time are you able to spend just on all these individual situations that may come up, especially on the odd chance you might not be there to make the call?
Yeah, I mean, that's something, there's like specific preparation, and then there's just kind of the conversation that, goes through a game where the situation kind of doesn't happen. But a lot of times what we're talking about in the dugout is, if this happens, what are we going to do? If this happens, what are we going to do? And if you keep going over the scenarios, when they happen, you're ready for them. And so that's what a lot of time in the dugout is spent doing, a lot of conversation with your bench coaches spent and pitching coach is spent on, so that when situations arise, you've already kind of had the discussion of what's going to happen. And so Ryan was really prepared for that last night and did a great job getting the infielders in. And unfortunately, they hit a ball pretty good.
A lot of folks talking about Ryan Flaherty for other jobs that may end up coming open or that might already be open out there. Situations like that didn't look overmatched in the least. He was kind of ready to handle everything. It was impressive.
Absolutely. And he's this is year two for him, and he's doing a heck of a job. And just from a coaching staff perspective, I think Tommy Hotovy is doing a heck of a job. Our pitching has been, you know, really, really solid. And we've preached, because of our kind of lack of strikeouts, just getting ahead in the count, and it's really bearing some fruit, and we're among the leaders in the league at doing that.
Yeah. Craig, you guys, Colin Ray going tonight for you guys, Shota Imanaga through yesterday. I got the numbers in front of me. You know, two innings, did not allow a run, one hit, four strikeouts over his two innings. What can you tell us after that and where we might be with Shota Imanaga and his potential return?
Yeah, I mean, so Shota's got a couple more starts before you're going to see him in Chicago, and that's because we, as a starter, you got to go through this process where you're lengthened out and you recover, where your arm recovers. Otherwise, we're making you really susceptible to injury. So he'll start again in Arizona on his next turn, and then we'll go on from there. But you know, he definitely has two more. Kind of rehab appearances before we're looking to see him in Chicago.
And you guys continue to get quality starts, or really lean on guys that maybe you weren't expecting to lean on this year. And I keep on making the point that it kind of went from this novelty where you're getting these great starts from guys like Colin Ray and Matthew Boyd that you didn't necessarily know what you were going to get. And now you have to get these starts out of these guys, or you guys would not be 14 games over 500. What have you thought about Matthew Boyd and his last couple of starts last night? Maybe gets lost in the shuffle of a crazy game. And then, you know, he had five perfect innings in his outing previous to this.
Well, I think Matthew's been, you know, just solid, and maybe that's even too light of a compliment, but he's been excellent. He's been consistent, super effective. He's been efficient in getting us deep into games, which is a kind of related to getting the bullpen successful. So all of those things, you know, it was a great job by our evaluative crew and Jed, and to bring on a pitcher who's, you know, really one of the better free agent signs of the winter.
And then one more pitcher question from me, at least, and that is Ryan Presley last night came in the seventh, 2-1 Phillies, got a couple guys on, but he struck out the last two, including Kyle Schwarber, where he got him swinging on that high fastball, 95 miles per hour. And I don't know if he'd been hitting that high velocity wise. It feels like Presley has been ramped back up well after having some sluggish times early on. Do you expect to keep putting Presley in those spots, or do you think he could get down the line a shot in the ninth, which I know has been going to Palencia lately?
Well, I think what's important is that we just put zeros up when we, you know, so let's just keep putting zeros up as much as we can. Ryan's done a heck of a job. You know, he came back from a poor outing and just one where, and he's really around that one outing, he's been really, really good. So that's what we need. And I think all our guys in the bullpen right now are pitching really well. And that's all related in terms of, you know, the length the starters are giving us and the effectiveness of each one of the relievers. So just put up zeros, get outs, hand the ball to the next guy, and we'll add up to 27 and we'll add up to a win.
Over the past week, you know, the best offense in baseball, the numbers haven't necessarily been there over the past week. Is there any consistent refrain or a trend you're noticing that might concern you here over the past week?
Probably Tarek Skubal and Zach Wheeler. you know, that's the thing you notice. And look, those guys, when you face these guys, like, you can go around the league and pick the best offenses in the history of the game. You're gonna score less runs. You know, and you're gonna have to win close games. And fortunately, we've been on the wrong side of some close games against both those guys. And that's just the nature of it, man. You gotta just keep going and no, we're going to face Skeens this weekend, and we're going to have to play the same game. So you just got to get a little bit better and be a little bit tighter with everything. But it's tough. You're not going to put up big numbers against those guys. It's a very rare day when you do.
I believe it might have been Craig Counsell who once said that home runs come in really handy against those types of guys, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it starts. Kyle Tucker with a homer, because you're not going to get a lot of three or four or five hit innings, right, Craig?
And Ian,
they don't give up four hits in an inning. They just, you know, they just don't. That their pitch quality and their stuff is, and their execution is just too high of a level for that to happen.
Let me sneak in one college baseball question with you, Craig, because the College World Series is upon us this week. So me covering the Big Ten, UCLA is now representing the Big Ten, but you're a Midwest guy, born and bred. Your son's playing ball in the Midwest, you know, both initially at the Big Ten, now one son at Kansas. But the evolution that I've been talking about with a lot of folks on my Big Ten radio show is whether or not the calendar for college baseball is going to be shifted in a way that benefits folks who grow up and then play college baseball in the Midwest. You experienced it yourself. Now a couple of sons are doing it right now, too. What's your impression of just kind of how the schedule plays out for college baseball and whether or not there is something that could be beneficial? If it's just like 2 or 3 weeks later, it feels like that would level the playing field.
Yeah, as much as anything from a spectator perspective, that's why you'd love to see the season move back a little bit. And it's just a weather thing, you know. The fans, baseball is—it's tough to watch baseball in cold weather. And I think it's meant to be watched in warm weather because of the kind of, it's a slower paced game. And so, in the Midwest and in these Big Ten schools at Iowa or at a Minnesota, like, you got to get to May and June before you're going to want to sit outside for 3 hours and enjoy a baseball game when it's meant to be enjoyed. So I would be a big fan of it. It would be a huge deal for Northeast and Midwest baseball. Absolutely.
I like it. I like thinking about sunshine, which I see outside of our studios right now. And Craig, I just want you to know, as we let you go, we are rooting for you. We are rooting for you.
We can make history happen.
Yeah, today. No, I don't know. I don't. Anthony seems to want you to be ejected. I want you to stay in the game tonight.
There has been a Cubs manager that has been ejected 3 consecutive games.
There hasn't been, or has?
There has.
Who?
Is it Lou Piniella?
Yeah,
that's my guess. Lou Piniella?
Frankie Frisch. Nice. Ooh. Try.
Frankie Frisch.
Wait a minute. Frankie, I don't, when did he manage the Cubs? What year was it, Craig? If you're going to do this.
Going down this rabbit
hole. Yeah, if you're going to go down this rabbit, you got to give me a year or a decade.
Like late 40s, early 50s.
Oh, okay. I think old Ed Harding might have told you
the
that.
The well-known Frankie Frisch era.
Yeah. Who told you that? Was it Coomer? Who told you that?
I've had several people, actually.
Okay.
It's around, you know.
We're the only ones that don't know, apparently.
Yeah, right. All the cool kids know all about Frankie Frisch.
Craig, you're the best, man. Honest to God, if you do get ejected, will you come on the afternoon show again tomorrow?
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Mark that down.
That's why we're safe.
Thanks, Craig.
See you later.
You got it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.